Good morning to everyone. I hope you will all hear me. It's good to be here with you again. It's a privilege to find this opportunity and to share God's word together. Let us turn to the book of 2 Timothy. We're looking at chapter 4. Verses 9 to 22. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 to 22. I am reading from the ESV version. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill at Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we come to you at this time. We thank you, O Lord, that you gave us another opportunity to hear your word being read and being proclaimed. And we pray, O Lord, that you will use your word even today to encourage us and to strengthen us in the times we are living in. We commit this time to you, O Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. When Martin Luther was asked what would he do if he was to die today, he said he will continue to do what he is currently doing. In other words, Luther was saying, every time or every day he lives for the Lord. So he will continue to do that, even if his time of passing has come. The question is, what would you do if this was your last day? Or if these were your last days? Now, we know that we are living in this world that is full of evil. The world that is hostile to the gospel. Now, how do you cope in such a difficult world? Or how do you cope in such difficult times? Not only that we're living in such a world, but when we look at the church, when we look at people who are seen as believers or call themselves believers, we see that indeed we are in the last days. It looks like Paul is asking this question, or is answering this question of how would you cope in these difficult times? When you look at the beginning of chapter 3, he says, understand this, Timothy, that in these last days, there will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unpleasurable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, sullen with conceit, lovers of pleasure than lovers of God. They have an appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And he says, avoid such people. Paul is describing these times that he finds himself in, and Timothy will find himself in these times. Difficult times. The question is, how to cope with these difficult times? Paul will start answering that from verse 10. Looking at the scriptures, he goes to chapter 4, verse 1 to 8. How do you cope in these difficult times? Continue to preach the word. Now he comes to the part, I would say, is the last part in answering this question of how to cope in these difficult times, these closing remarks in verse 9 to verse 22. And he answers this by saying, continue serving the Lord's work. That is the theme that we'll be looking at this passage. How do you cope in such difficult times when you are surrounded by evil, when the world is hostile to us? How do you cope in such times? Remember that Paul is in prison. Yeah. And this is his last book. He is about to face death, and he sees death in his face. How does he cope in these difficult times? After his death, how would Timothy cope in such difficult times? He says, continue serving the Lord's work. Don't be derailed. Don't be disturbed by all these things that are happening. Continue in serving the Lord. Now, you might ask a question. How do I continue, or how do we continue serving the Lord's work? Now, we will look at two things in answering this question. That it seems that Paul is showing us how to continue serving the Lord's work. The first one is verse 9 to verse 13. And also, we can insert verse 19 to 21. He says, by relying on faithful servants. That's how we continue serving the Lord's work. Rely on faithful servants. Now, when he opens this part, he says to Timothy, do your best to come to me soon. Come quickly, Timothy. This is an urgent plea. Come and visit me in prison. But amazingly, when you look at verse 10, he says, for Demas has deserted me. Now, it looks like Paul is saying, Timothy, come quickly. This is urgent. Why is it urgent? It is because Demas has left. Now, Demas, if this is the same Demas, which commentators say it is the same Demas, he appears in the book of Philemon. He is described as Paul's co-worker. He appears also in Colossians chapter 4. Paul sends greetings from Demas. Therefore, Demas was someone who was closer to Paul, someone who was helping him for ministry. He was a co-worker of Paul. And now, Paul finds himself without anyone to assist him. Probably he was key, Demas was key to Paul while he was here in prison or in his ministry. And now he says he has left because he loved the world. He went to Thessalonica. But Paul is not disturbed by this or derailed by this, that Demas has deserted him, that Demas has loved the world. He doesn't even discuss it further, but he's focusing in serving the Lord's work, in relying on other faithful servants, even when those who are closer to us, those who are assisting us, has deserted us. You don't dwell on that, because these are the last days. This is what has been described about the last days. These will be difficult times. We should expect people like Demas, those who will leave the faith because they love the world. But what do we do? We just rely on other faithful servants. Come quickly, Timothy. And he says, when you come,
bring Mark with you. Now, after mentioning Demas, who has deserted him, he mentions others, but others have not deserted him, but they were busy with missionary business. They were busy doing the work of the Lord. But he needed someone who was going to assist him, like Demas was. He says, bring Mark with you. Now, we know that Mark was one of those young men who deserted Paul earlier, not in the sense of Demas loving the world, but he left them after their first missionary journey. And it seems that later on, Mark became key in assisting in serving the Lord's work. That Paul sees Mark as useful for ministry. Look at what he says at the end of verse 11. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Even if Mark had earlier in the ministry of Paul left him, and Paul didn't want to take him along in other missionary journeys, but as he would be seen maybe as a weak believer then, but Mark became a faithful man in serving the Lord. I mean, how would you trust someone like Mark? Commentators, they say, probably the man that left Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the one who ran away naked, was probably Mark. And secondly, he left Paul in the first missionary journey. So, being a faithful servant doesn't mean that one doesn't have weaknesses. They might have weaknesses, like Mark. But he came to be faithful in serving the Lord's work. Bring him with you, relying on faithful servants. And Paul, as if he's mentioning this in passing in verse 12, say, by the way, I know, Timothy, that you are in Ephesus, looking after the churches in Ephesus. I know maybe you are thinking that who's going to look after these churches in Ephesus? I've sent Tychicus to Ephesus because I need you more by my side. And then Paul says, when you come, bring these necessities. Bring my cloak, bring my scrolls and parchments. They say the cloak was something that looked like a poncho. I don't know if you know the poncho. Maybe ladies will know that. You can wear it, but it's warm as well to function as a blanket. as Paul says in verse 21, come before winter. So he was expecting this cold weather while he's in prison. And he relies on Timothy to serve him. And bringing his scrolls and parchments, probably books and the scriptures, so that he continues to read, focusing on serving the Lord's work. So, how do you cope, or how to cope with difficult times? I don't know how you cope in difficult times. You might have been disappointed by other believers, but do you dwell on that? Or you continue relying on other faithful servants? Continuing to serve the Lord's work. Now, let's look at the second thing. How to cope with difficult times. Continue serving the Lord's work. How? How do I continue serving the Lord's work? One, by relying on faithful servants. Two, and which is more greater, verse 14 to verse 18. And we can also insert verse 22. By relying on the Lord. So how do you cope in difficult times? You continue serving the Lord's work by relying on faithful servants. But also realizing that these are humans. They have their weaknesses, like Mark. They might not totally desert you, like Demas, because they love the world. But they might desert you, like Mark. In fact, we'll see in these verses as well, when he says, no one stood by me. The church in Rome did not come by Paul. And those who were with him did not stood by him. So, as much as you rely on faithful servants, but you rely more on the Lord. Verse 14, verse 18. Now, Paul mentions another man or a fierce opposition to Paul in verse 14, Alexander, the coppersmith. He says, he did me great harm. Some have suggested that probably Alexander was the one who got Paul arrested because he was opposing the gospel. And some say probably Alexander was a key witness in this court case. He was against Paul. He did not only get Paul arrested, but he made sure that Paul will face death. And Paul says, he did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Now, look at Paul. He doesn't go on and on focusing on this man, because his focus. He knows that these are difficult times. His focus is on serving the Lord's work. He's not disturbed by Alexander. Even if Alexander did this great harm to him, looks like he's not moved by that. He is in prison because of this Alexander, and he might face death soon because of this Alexander. And he just says, the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. I don't know if it was me and you, what would we say about the person who put you in that particular situation? In our talks or conversations, we'll go on and on talking about what this person has done to me. Paul is like mentioning this in passing. By the way, Alexander did this to me, but the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. And then he continues to warn Timothy, because this man opposes the gospel. Beware of him, because he's the great opposition of the message. And then Paul, it looks like Paul wants to focus on what happened in the court case or in the first defense. But for him to focus on his first defense, he has to mention Alexander, who brought him to that and who was the greatest opposition. But where he is going, he's going to verse 16, that at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. And he says again, may it not be charged against them, because the Lord stood by me. Now, they say, in this defense, when one was facing a trial, there will be a lower ruler who will conduct this court case, and hundreds of people will come to attend this case, especially if someone was well known. There would even be thousands of people coming to this court case. And they say, during this time when the accused is standing there facing these accusations, those who were close to him or who were supporters of him were allowed to stand next to him. Not that they will be accused, but they will show the whole house that they support what he stands for. And Paul says, when he was standing there, no one was next to him. There was a church in Rome. There were believers here. There were others. Probably that's when Demas left and thought that this is too much for him.
He doesn't want to be associated with what Paul is standing for. That's why Paul says, may it not be charged against them. Because he's talking about believers here. He is not bitter with the church as me and you would do in times when we stand alone. If it was me, I was going to leave KPC and be bitter that I was all alone. No one supported me. But you know, Paul, because his focus is in serving the Lord's work. How? By relying on the Lord more. Remember what I said. You might rely on faithful servants, but these are not perfect people. They might desert you like these members of the Roman church and other associates. But Paul was not depressed by this. He was not bitter. But he says that the Lord stood by me. And the Lord strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So Paul saw this as an opportunity for the gospel, to present the gospel. Again, Paul did not dwell on his disappointments from other believers, those who did not stood by him during this first defense. But Paul looked at these thousands of people who are interested in this case, and he saw an opportunity to present the gospel. Because the Lord was with him, and the Lord strengthened him to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. That's why I say, how do we cope in difficult times? We continue in serving the Lord's work. Because even in these difficult times for Paul, he looked for opportunities. For he saw this as an opportunity to proclaim the gospel. And then he says, the Lord rescued him in danger. Looks like probably people wanted to kill him. Or maybe Alexander was more angrier because Paul was not backing down from this message of the gospel. And he says, God will continue to rescue him and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. And he makes a doxology, praising God. To him be the glory forever. And look at how he closes in verse 22. He knows that Timothy needs this as well. The Lord be with your spirit, singular. Be with your spirit, Timothy.
And then he says, grace be with you all. Paul knows that Timothy, as much as he needs faithful servants, but he needs the Lord more. So, how do we cope with difficult times? How do you cope in these difficult times? Are you shocked when people are lovers of themselves? When people are abusive, arrogant, unholy, and you dwell on that, focusing on that? Are you shocked when people in the church do not stand with you or by you in difficult times? No. You continue serving the Lord's work. Paul knows that he's about to die. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. And he says, I continue serving the Lord's work. By relying on faithful servants, verse 9 to 13, and verse 18 to 20, by relying more on the Lord. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for your word that in such difficult times, when people disappoint us, when we face opposition of the gospel, when people are busy with their own things, but we rely on you, O Lord. As much as we may find faithful people, servants, that serve you, that contribute on our work and ministry, but, O Lord, in difficult times, we will find more strength in you. And we know that you will stand by us.